do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hate. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention, 5 topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, contenders or pretenders, Lakers sunk, panic in Dallas, one and done, and Harden back in H-Town. Oh my goodness. I also want to welcome those of you watching on YouTube. Hello. Subscribe to our new YouTube page, The Athletic NBA Show. Hell, if you watch this video, just it's a thing, it's right down there. Just go down there, click the thing, and you click subscribe, and you get all these videos. Not just us, not just our beautiful mugs. Sam Amick, Anthony Slater, Basket Buds. What else we got? Hoop Adjacent, Nerder, she wrote. Everything. Everything you'd want to watch, plus more. Plus the Slam and Jam with Andrew Schleck. You got all of that on that YouTube page. And while we're whoring things out, subscribe to The Bounce, theathletic.com/bounce. It's your daily newsletter, Marcus. For all things NBA, every morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, usually by me and Shab Sharadia. All right, today, March 2nd, National Banana Cream Pie Day. Marcus, you up or down on a banana cream pie?
Oh, I'm way down on banana cream pie. It sounds disgusting. Don't like it.
No.
You know what?
Gross.
Well, you know what a better date, a better note of March 2nd is? Mm. March 2nd is the anniversary of Claudette Colvin. I know you don't know who she is, but I'm going to tell you. She's the before Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. Claudette Colvin did it in March 2nd, 1955. Pioneer legend. It is Women's History Month, Jay. Yeah. I'd educate you a little bit.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you.
And you definitely eat banana cream pie in that hat, buddy.
Yeah, that hat.
No.
Nah, you didn't before that hat. Yeah, you put that hat on, you eat banana cream pie.
I eat shepherd's pie in this.
How much of that did you have in Ireland?
Banana cream pie?
Yeah.
Zero. Actually, I had some gross food, man. Like,
yeah, UK food's different, man.
We had some great meals,
like,
too,
not in a good way.
Like,
you gotta go Indian. You gotta go Indian cuisine.
The pub food there in Ireland was just like,
it's just beans.
It wasn't great.
It's just bougie.
I just like my cheeseburger to taste like an American cheeseburger.
Nah, you can't get that over all. There, man. You gotta go fish and chips. Really, fish and chips good.
Yeah, I'm not a big fish and chips guy.
Yeah.
I need what did it taste like though. If it didn't taste like cheeseburger?
It had like this smoky taste to it. I don't know. It was just different.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, I couldn't catch more of Jay King's UK food reviews right here on the YouTube channel for the Athletic NBA Show podcast. In that corner, the most braggadocious Beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He writes Celtics. He reps Kings. And he'll believe in any mediocre white player from college that didn't quite make it in the NBA. Ride with him on Peloton. At the Kid, the God, it's Jay Sacramento King. Jay, what was your favorite part of Ireland?
The Cliffs of Moher were just spectacular.
I mean, they're not called the Cliffs of Less, right? Like, that's not their name.
They were, I mean, I'm scared of heights, though.
Yeah.
So the whole cliffs thing is like very tough for me. Also, I was driving a rental car roads are like tiny.
Yeah.
And you have to drive on the wrong side of the road in the wrong side of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was legit anxious the whole drive out there.
So you can't really enjoy it.
Just a gorgeous drive through the countryside. And then you get to like one of the most beautiful places on earth. So it was worth it. But man, I was shook.
In this corner, the most
extremely show.
Versatile media member the Bay Area has ever seen. Written 3 books, long titles. Go get them in all bookstores. He's the friend from Frisco, the bro from Berkeley. Puts the sauce in Sausalito, the media in Alameda, the AO in Vallejo, the petty in Petaluma. But most importantly, he is the OG from Oakland. It's Marcus S. Thompson. Marcus, what was your favorite part of Jay's trip to Ireland?
When he came back with the Samuel Jackson Kango hat, act like it was some kind of Irish invention or something. Like black people ain't been wearing Kangos since before he was born. One day removed from Black History Month, and history starts changing. Yeah. Yeah, I expect more from you, Jay.
It's March now. That means it's Irish history.
Said that with a lot of emphasis. That made me uncomfortable. Schleck, start the clock. That's enough banter.
Don't do my guy Jay like that, man. Relax. Relax. Don't do my guy Jay like that, man.
Take one. Contenders or pretenders. Our own John Hollinger wrote, the NBA title hopefuls getting exposed as pretenders on Wednesday, detailed that of the last 43 champions, 42 of those had won at least 52 games. Only three teams are on pace for that or better right now. It's the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Denver Nuggets. I think it's easy to call those three finals contenders, but what about the rest? Let's play contender or pretenders, boys. So, Jay, I'll start you off. 76ers, contender or pretender?
I'm not doing it with them. I'm not doing it with them. We've never seen Joel Embiid get out of the second round. We have seen James Harden not live up to his reputation in the playoffs or live up to his playoff reputation. I'm just not there with them. They've played really good basketball. Embiid is a force. I can't get behind the idea that they are a legitimate contender. They're one of the teams, like, if they advance out of the Eastern Conference, everything has gone right for them. Like, injuries on the other side, their role players just touch God for a little while. I don't think, as good as they've played, as awesome as Embiid has been, I'm just not buying them.
Marcus, contender or pretender for the Sixers?
I'm going contender. First off, they actually fit in the little scheme now. They're on pace for 53 wins, which changes the paradigm of everything. They're in now. Lock them in as title favorite. Seriously, I mean, we've seen how the playoffs work. They've got three players who could win a game for you, right? You got Joel Embiid, you got James Harden, and Tyrese Maxey can win a game for you.
Yeah,
I don't know that they will, but the fact that they can puts them maybe on the outside realm of contenders, but I do feel like matchup, like, everybody needs something like that. You need a break, you need a matchup, you need guys to get hot. If they just avoid somehow Boston and Milwaukee, they're good.
That's all you gotta do.
Or, like, you know, it's just a tough, like, things just work out. Like, it could just go wrong for another team. And the way it usually goes wrong for Philly, maybe the ghost of Iverson wins for them at some point. But they're on pace for 53 wins. What do you want from them?
I mean,
that's contender status.
Yeah. And last time they had 52, what happened? Yeah. They still didn't make the conference finals, but they got one.
Right. So you blame it on can't guard anybody on the perimeter.
All right. Let's run through some of these a little quicker. Cavs, contender or pretender, Jay?
No. They're awesome. And if you look at their statistical profile, like, they should be a contender. I just don't think they have enough on the wing. And, like, you're going to need more shot creation.
Dean Wade.
You're going to need more shot creation than just Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland at the end of the day. And they don't have that yet.
Marcus, Cavs, contender, pretender.
Nah, very fun to watch team. Super, you know, potential coming up, but not now. Too soon.
I'll tell you this. Evan Mobley coming out party in the playoffs. He's going to dominate.
That would be awesome. And look,
they actually might help a team like Philly. I think they might knock somebody off, though. They might take a big dog out of there. It might be Philly, though.
This may be a hot take. I'm not certain they get past the Knicks. Grizzlies, contender or pretender? Good. Marcus, Grizzlies.
I think so. In the same way, I mean, first off, the West is so bad.
The West is wide open.
The Cavaliers would be a contender in the West.
Oh my God! I put them through. Like, yeah, believe.
I do feel like, you know, Memphis has a good enough home court. Like, I mean, if they just need Jaren Jackson not to foul out every third game,
well, good luck.
I do feel like they're tough, nice. Right? Yeah. You know, let Dylan Brooks hurt somebody and then, you know, clear the path.
On which team? All right. What about the Suns? Contenders or pretenders?
Hell yes, contenders. This
for sure.
Hell yes.
Can you believe that debut of Kevin Durant last night? We recorded before that, but can you believe that? Oh my God, he had
it was 30, unbelievable.
40, 50,
unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh my God, Gordon Hayward had nothing for him, or had everything for him. I don't remember. Who knows?
Did you see the Suns fans fighting on behalf of KD's honor in the audience? Man, that was crazy.
Why did Charlotte? I mean, for that debut. All right. What about Clippers contender or pretender Jay King?
Absolutely not. Nope.
We can't do it, right?
Everyone's going to talk themselves into Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and I get it. We've seen Kawhi.
No, people are just calling them. They're talking themselves into Kawhi Leonard. That's what they're doing. Not
yeah,
Paul George.
But
Paul George is a worthy two or three or whatever he should be. They don't have a point guard. Like, they have literally no point guard that I can trust on that roster. Their third best player, I have no idea who it is, and whoever it is not good enough to be the third best player on
Norman
the
Powell, baby.
I think it's Zubats.
Yeah, it really is, though.
And, like, Russell Westbrook, like, he's been okay for them, but he still doesn't help them. And that's the problem, because we haven't even seen a bad Russ game yet with them.
No, he's been good,
and
actually.
He's still not helping them.
Marcus, this last one for you before we move on. Warriors, contenders or pretenders?
If Steph is playing, they're contenders. I think they're on the fringe. They got a puncher's chance. This season just don't feel right, man. But they're number five in the West.
I mean, it's so ridiculous.
They're number five in the West. Like, how is this team fifth best team in the West right now? Like,
that is crazy.
Speaking of pretenders, take two.
They've just been fumbling their way through.
Take two. Lakers Dunzo. Monday night, Shams Charania reported, quote, sources. There's fear Lakers star LeBron James is likely to miss an extended period of time with his right foot injury. James suffered the injury in Sunday's win over Dallas, played through it, and belief is he will be sidelined an indefinite amount. Lakers have looked better since the trade deadline, getting big wins over those Warriors without Steph Curry and the Mavs. But missing James for several weeks could put the Lakers' play-in hopes in jeopardy. So, Marcus, are the Lakers toast or... can AD and the gang stay afloat until LeBron gets back?
They should be toast, but they're not toast for the reasons we just got through talking about.
The West.
The West. Like, this is a contest in mediocrity, right? Like, I mean, look, we didn't expect much from the Jazz, so this isn't crazy. But how are you losing to San Antonio, who don't want to win, right? We see this
They've been all really trying.
Time.
I mean, 16 like, straight.
They really don't want to win. Like,
and they're getting smacked worse than any process Sixers hinky team.
This is the West, man. Like, I do feel like they've got enough competent players that they can win enough. They won't be out of it because the other teams ahead of them won't do anything to create, like they won't pull away, right? Like, that's just what the season has been.
Who tweeted, like, the West is a very forgiving place?
No, but it is, right? It is. No, it is.
I thought that was you for some reason. It's so forgiving. Like, Steph misses weeks, Warriors just float around.
Wiggins hasn't played since before the All-Star break, and they're 3-1.
That was the thing, man. Real quick, Jay, is people like Lakers fans got mad at me because I said in the Bounce, which is your daily email newsletter from the Athletics NBA.
Best
section,
in the nation.
Best in the nation. I wrote something like, if they miss the play-in tournament because of this LeBron injury, they go into the summer not knowing, is this team worth re-signing? And Lakers fans are like, what are you talking about? They're 4-1 since the trade and 3-0 with LeBron and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, one, look who they played. And two, I thought the standard, Jay, was championship basketball. Where's the championship basketball?
Not anymore.
Oh, my God.
But imagine the slop that they've watched over the last
year and a half. Oh, it's better. Don't get me wrong. It's better.
Now they're watching Jared Vanderbilt like, hell yeah.
Somebody finally plays a little defense about Jared Vanderbilt.
Why did people not understand about Jared Vanderbilt? Like,
yo, people credited Pat Beverly with that Wolves success, like defensively and everything, and that was all Jared Vanderbilt.
He's also a ridiculous rebounder.
Yeah,
like pound for pound, he might.
He's
be
also
the
like 11 years old, right? He's young as hell, like 6'9", and in a league where you gotta be able to defend the perimeter. I don't understand how this dude didn't have more value. Like, Like he's
just because he's not really a shooter.
Yeah, that's what it is. You don't get buckets.
Not really a shooter. Is a little.
It's kind. It's kind.
Not at all a shooter. But man, he can do a lot of other things.
He's incredible at everything else. Yeah.
But this Lakers—they were doomed before the injury. They're doomed after the injury. Like, as bad as the West is, you are not getting through a playoff run with D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley and all these guys that you got to count on.
Dennis Schroeder.
People were excited that they were so bad that people were excited about adding all those guys to that team. It was like,
yeah,
like that's how bad their supporting cast was. And now they
their only win right now. Their only win right now is that the Clippers are 0-3 with Russ. That's their only win right now.
All they can point to is that the guy they traded everyone for is still bad for another team.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's tough.
That hurts.
Yeah, I guess I was just under the assumption that we were still trying to get LeBron another championship.
I mean, look, no matter what has, no matter what has happened all year, like if you can't be top 10 in the West, like you're not a good team.
At this point, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But injuries, like Steph's
everybody, everybody's got, everybody's dealing with it.
Not dealing with injuries, and by the way, they're ahead of everybody.
Yeah, they're top of the West, right? Like
that's because they dealt with injuries the last 3 years. They got screwed on it, right? So they're just getting a little back in their favor. But yeah, like this Lakers team. I mean, I guess good that it's better than it was. Amin El-Hassan and I have a bet from doing radio this weekend. Where if this may change now because we did put an injury clause in, but if they face the Nuggets in the first round in a 1-8 matchup, if the Lakers can push it to 6 or 7 games, not even win, just push it to 6 or 7 games, we have to go to Arkansas because that's where Austin Reeves is from, and I have to buy Amin a steak dinner in Arkansas.
Do you know?
Hey, my mother lives out there,
Nikola
so I got a good spot for you.
Okay, I won't need it, so I'm not worried about it because the Nuggets are going to smack the Lakers if they play them. But I'm not worried about that.
Yeah. Jokic would have 10 assists per game solely on times that D'Angelo Russell fell asleep and let someone go back.
I think at some point Jokic would feel bad for picking apart D'Angelo Russell.
Nah, Jokic doesn't feel bad. He doesn't feel bad.
Or he'd get bored by it. He would get bored by it.
He might get bored by it.
Let's take a quick break. Kyrie struggles in the clutch. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
And we're back. Take 3. Panic in the Big D. The Mavs made a big move at the deadline, trading for Kyrie Irving in hopes to make a postseason push. And so far, the results have been tough, losing 4 of the 5 games that Luka and Kyrie have played together. That one victory coming against the Spurs, so it doesn't count. They were in the middle of losing 16 in a row before the Jazz tanked one against them on Tuesday. The 4 losses all came down to the last possession, and the Mavs were unable to deliver. As of Wednesday, the Mavs have fallen to 7th in the West. They are now battling to get out of the play-in. So, Jay, do you believe the Mavs can get it together and avoid the play-in tournament, or was this a doomed pairing from the start?
Both.
Wow, okay.
I believe in both. So it was a doomed pairing from the start. Betting as much as they did on Kyrie Irving will backfire in some way. I don't know how yet, but it will backfire in some way. But I also, I can see how this will work on the basketball court before it all goes up in flames. The end of that game, which they lost 124-122. Kyrie took, I don't know why they isolated him and just did not have Luka Doncic in the action at all. He was just like chilling in the corner while someone else decided his team's fate.
Kyrie got a good shot, man. Like, that was not that contested. It's a step back three. I trust him to make that shot.
Yeah, but you know what would be better? Putting the ball in your best player's hands, or at least having him involved somehow. Use him somehow to free up Kyrie.
But also, like, Luka, not a good outside shooter.
If you go but Luka's a killer. Luka's a killer. How many clutch shots has that man hit? But anyway, the last 6 minutes or so of that game, they played with Tim Hardaway, Reggie Bullock, Maxi Kleber, Luka, and Kyrie. And I could see it, man.
Like, that's a good
line. That group is going to be able to defend. They're going to be able to shoot the hell out of the ball. And I was like, I get it. I get how this team could be not just like the offensive juggernaut, but with a lineup like that, it's like, okay, I can talk myself into this team.
Marcus, I think their issues are not with this pairing so much as like their big chunks of the game. They have to play either Dwight Powell against a big man or Christian Wood at all. Like, I mean, dude, just do me a favor. If you're a basketball fan out there, your team has cap space this summer, whether you're a good team, bad team, mediocre team, do not talk yourself into signing Christian Wood. Just don't.
Somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to do it.
He's not good. Like, he can get stats, but he's not good. And so, like, they have so many issues before I think, like, oh, they should have done this action. Like, their defense sucks, Marcus.
And it sucks in a place where you just can't suck in the playoffs. Like, on the perimeter, right?
You got to be. Well, although, in the West, maybe.
No, I mean, that's what, in the playoffs in the West, look who you got to deal with. You got to deal with Jamal Murray. You got to deal with Ja Morant. You got to deal with De'Aaron Fox, right?
Yeah.
You got to deal with Steph Curry. You got, like, there's a lot of Anthony Kawhi, Edwards. There's a lot of dudes coming at you. You got to be able to guard people.
Shingles Alexander.
There's a lot of dudes you got to be able to guard. I don't know if they can. I agree. I don't think the issue is Kyrie and Luka. I just think they have a lot of issues.
Yeah.
But when you get to the clutch moment, those dudes are so good, they'll figure it out in time.
Well, that's the thing. Hold on real quick, Jay. Like, we're talking about coin flips here. Right? In these four losses, like, two of those go in. I'm not saying they all have to like change, but let's say say that shot goes in last night and one of them happens, you know, another game. How do we start talking about, like, if they're 3-2 instead of 1-4 in these games with them, we're talking so much differently. And that's just we're talking two shots going in.
100%. But I think part of it too is Luka has never had to be in a situation where he's used off the ball.
And sure,
as fantastic as he is, like, there's some stuff about playing without the ball that he just has to learn to use his gravity, to set screens for guys, to do all that stuff that he's never really been asked to do because he's never been in a situation to do it. And so I don't think, like, they're basketball geniuses, really, like, especially Luka. He's gonna figure it out, but like. So I think it's promising. What they've done so far, despite the record, I think it's pretty promising. There's a roadmap there to be very good in the West this year before Kyrie does something to tear everything apart.
Yeah, wow. But the thing they're running into is, like, you just can't do that eeny, meeny, miny, mo clutch time offense, right? Like, to be good at offense, you need to have a consistent, thorough plan. And they have the pieces to figure it out. Like, Luka's got to learn what to do off the ball. But, like, he can, and Kyrie can, and now it's not like a, what are we going to do? Who's got the best matchup? Like, you got to be able to run some stuff because you're going against the best defenses in the playoffs, allegedly.
Yeah.
So, I just feel like they could get there. I don't know if they get there in time to – I think they might – they could still avoid the play-in. To me – Warriors, Clippers, Dallas, Minnesota are somehow going to end up 5-8. So they could be one of them.
Do we think the Mavs even had stuff in their playbook that involved, like, Luka as a screener at the end of games? I feel like every crunch time
game. Who's he screening for?
It used to be, like, just Luka isoing step back. Luka iso step back. Like, every single time. And now you got to use two guys together and figure out how to get some synergy there.
But he's already seen the shelf life of that. It's defendable in a series, so he should be much more willing.
Does he feel that is?
I mean, he should. Like, he should. Well, he saw the wall he ran into, and his name was Andrew Wiggins. Like, a guy guard you like that, get off the ball.
I don't think he looks at it that way. I think he looks at it, I'll cook his ass next time. Coming up after the break, one and done. Done?
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Take four, one and done, done. Earlier this week, Shams Charani reported on the NBA and the Players Association progressing in talks on reaching a new collective bargaining agreement. Quote, "We want to finish the deal soon and certainly want this wrapped up before the March 31st deadline," one high-ranking source involved in the player negotiations, who was granted anonymity so they could speak freely, told The Athletic, "It's close. We need to dot the I's and cross the T's. One of the changes that could be made is draft eligible age being moved to 18. Quote, "Lowering the age eligibility for the NBA draft to 18 years old, which would effectively end the one-and-done system in college basketball. The NBA and NBPA have momentum on an agreement to terms that would lower the age to 18 for the draft, but sources say the union pushing for conditions that would facilitate veteran players providing tutelage and orientation to the high schoolers entering the league. The players' union wants to maintain the presence of veteran players and not allow newcomers to replace them, especially in the case of teams with high school prospects who enter the NBA. I believe that's called the Rookie Symposium, or no, I guess we're going to make it more of a keep veterans on the roster kind of thing. Marcus, should the draft eligible age be 18? And what are your thoughts on this possible tutelage clause?
Well, yes, it should. You can't tell people that they can't work. This is really an antitrust violation they've been allowed to get away with. And it's also a little racist, but they should be allowed to play when they're ready to play. But that is a major concern. Like, teams are already so young, and old guys are getting squeezed out.
The Rockets with a high schooler?
I know, right? Old guys are already. I could see them saying,
just like the Rockets are now.
We're gonna have
no change, I guess.
We're gonna have a two way for old heads, right? It's gonna be like you get to have two contracts just for OGs.
I actually like that idea.
It's gonna be that, because a lot of these guys get squeezed out. I just wonder. I mean, after so many years, if the league is caving on this, what are they killing the players on? They're getting something.
That's
right?
The thing, man. This is such.
It's like, all right, we're going to give you this, but what are you getting?
I think the age limit's bullshit. We don't know how to handle these high school kids.
That's
They're
all it
young.
Is.
It's like, okay,
we don't want to make the mistake. We don't want to make a mistake drafting a guy. Yeah. We get hurt by
Keep
it, so let's change
ourselves.
The rule. Absolutely.
Put us on a budget, right? No like, question. That's what that was. So that's stupid. But at the same time, if you're the players union, you can't let this be a bargaining chip where you have to give something up for this.
See, I think the players union probably wants to keep it at 19 too, because the players union involves it's all the veterans who want to be around as long as possible.
Jay,
none
of these guys we're talking about drafting are in the union until they're in the union, right? So they don't give a shit about these kids.
But it's so, like, imagine if Victor Wembanyama was just forced to go to college for a year. He's been playing professionally for years now,
yeah,
overseas. And it's like why would you
we saw that. It was Greg Oden at Ohio State. A guy that everyone was like, yeah, this dude's the next one. And then,
yeah, what are we doing, right?
Like, we forced him to go to Ohio State.
And then he got whacked
like Zion,
by the
right?
Florida Gators.
Yeah, playing with his offhand because his broken wrist. He was unbelievable.
That's fair.
Yeah.
He was so
He's
big.
Still dominated so playing good. With the wrong hand.
He was playing against Horford and Joakim Noah, yeah. too. Like, what a front court.
I know.
That was a good. That was a great Florida team.
That was a great Florida team. That was a great Ohio State team, too.
Corey Brewer was on that team?
Corey Brewer was on that team, yeah.
It was Corey Brewer, Al Horford, Joakim Noah.
Was it Teddy Dupé or was he earlier or later?
No, Teddy Dupé was not on that team. Who was okay. who was the white boy though? Who oh, was the white dude?
Did he start with a D?
I forget.
I can't remember.
They brought back their whole starting five.
This
though.
Is probably the point of this segment, right?
I was trying to remember
that.
Good
podcasting. This is good podcasting. But they were hell though.
Brett Swanson.
What?
Brett Swanson. No, you're lying. Brett you're lying. Swanson.
I'm looking at the roster right now.
No.
I'm looking at it right now.
Hold on. I'm on it too.
What year was that?
That would have been 07. 06, yeah. 07, right?
Yeah. Brett Swanson, man. What you want
Brett
me to do?
Brett Swanson was not the guy. Torrey.
Oh, I don't tough. Know if he was the guy, but.
Lee Humphrey.
Lee Humphrey. Yeah, man. Yo, Lee can play.
I mean, it's the
Lee
same dude, bro. Like,
no, don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Look at the pictures of Brett Swanson and Lee Humphrey and tell me.
I'm not they're going not... to. I'm not going to give you the satisfaction.
If you put on, if they both put on Jay's alike. Hat, we wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
Take five.
Hold on. I'm looking at them. And they look nothing alike. But there is another dude who looks like Brett Swanson on that squad.
Take five. Harden back to H-Town. On Wednesday, Sam Amick and Kelly Eco wrote about James Harden.
They kind of look nothing alike, by the way.
To the Houston Rockets in free agency. The sense was, in the closing quote, the sense was, in the closing moments of Harden's time in Houston, that the door for a potential return was still open. Harden had to leave to try and achieve his dream of winning a championship, but this was by no means a goodbye. It was more of a, quote, see you later. But not so fast, Sam Amick writes. Quote, according to high-ranking Sixers source with knowledge of the team's operation, they are unconcerned about possibly losing him this summer. This confidence, it seems, is rooted in the belief that only Philadelphia can provide the two things Harden holds most dear, a chance to contend for a title and maximum earning potential. Are we thinking that's what Harden...
Yeah, dear.
There's a big third thing that I
and Houston
think is the
has
top
plenty
thing,
of them.
And Houston might be the best at it. Like... It's either Houston or Atlanta. Atlanta doesn't have the room to go get him. So I don't know if I agree with that high-ranking official with knowledge of the team's operation. Jay, where do you stand? Is Harden bolting for the Rockets this summer, or is he getting that bag in Philly?
I would be fascinated to see what would come of him going to Houston. Because obviously there's like incentive for them to win.
Sure.
And not give up their draft pick. But like, why bring him back? Why take away opportunities from Jalen Green? Why stunt the growth of the talented guys you have on the roster
for
a guy who's like
does not like this? But I mean, like, I'm saying like their current state,
it would make him money.
No, I'm saying the current state.
And they're a mess. They're a mess. There's not much to build around there, honestly. Like I like some of their players individually, but like it's just disgusting how they play basketball.
They and active. I mean, there's
you
a,
can see Silas
mutiny
like,
against
just
Silas,
but he's also just
bruh.
Fuming.
My
like
goodness,
yeah. That
this
poor
one of the
guy,
nicest like, guys in the world, bro.
I know,
he
dude.
Looks,
he got such a
so
raw
depressed.
Deal.
He got such
so a raw deal.
when he was talking about why Şengün was not playing against the Blazers, and he's like, motherfucker, Dame had 71. Do you not realize why Dame had 71? Because he was just cooking this motherfucker the whole fucking time. And people are like fuming that Şengün was not in the game. And it's like, you want me to just leave him out there?
Maybe they wanted to see 80.
Get 100 for Dame. But yeah, I don't know.
It just doesn't make any sense. Why? What is he getting out of it?
But here's the thing. It makes so little sense that it has to be true, because nobody could like just put stuff together and say, you know, this makes sense. James Harden could go back to Houston. This is totally nonsensical, which means it has to be true.
This idea that he was like, oh, I got to go chase a championship. That's not why he got out of Houston. He would have been perfectly like, Houston was becoming a mess. He didn't want to be around for it. It just so happened he went to another mess.
It's a bargaining chip. It's a leverage play. When you want a deal, you say, hey, man, I can leave. And I got this place that you might believe I'll leave to.
And you can't. Yeah. If you're James Harden negotiating with Daryl Morey and Sixers ownership, the way you get through to Daryl Morey to convince Sixers ownership is it's not.
I'll go back to Houston.
Oh, I may go to Charlotte. Mm-mm. It's like, I love Houston. I'll go back.
Hey, that's don't how pay you me. I'll go work. Back. Absolutely. It's a leverage play. He has no reason to go.
For some reason, I believe in this one. I think James Harden is going to be back on the Rockets.
I kind of do, too. If you told me you're from the future, James Harden went back there this summer, I wouldn't be like, how'd that happen, Jay? I can't believe this. Like, I would just be like, yeah, all right. That makes sense.
And look, there's a lot that can happen this year. Like, I know I just discarded Philly's chances in the playoffs, but if they go on a run and win a ring or come close to it, that could change things. And if they flame out and it goes the other way, Philly could want to make huge changes. Like, there's a lot of pressure in Philly right now.
Yeah, not with Harden. Like, Daryl Morey.
But there's so much pressure in Philly right now. Joel Embiid has never gotten out of the second round. Like, just from a standpoint of pleasing Joel Embiid and keeping him happy there.
He was flirting with Miami last year. Like, yeah. He was flirting with Miami and Jimmy Butler something fierce last year. Now, I'm not saying that's where he would go, but, like, that was a thing.
All I'm saying is he's tight with Steph from their little Under Armour friendship.
Oh,
that's all I'm saying.
Okay. The Warriors get involved again.
That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is he came out here and somehow he was at Aisha's restaurant.
I love the idea of Daryl Morey. He can't get past Draymond Green and Steph Curry, right? So he's like, all right. Well, I'm losing Joel Embiid. Let me go get Draymond Green. And Draymond's just washed at that point and just
let's get him. The
worst version of Draymond. He's signed to a max.
Signed Clay and Draymond to a max. Now we got him. We can't beat him. Join him.
Yeah. I kind of hope Harden goes back. Just
Bob Marsh will be like, and that dude makes more than me?
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Make sure to subscribe to all the pods on the Athletic Podcast Network, Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and the Bun and Cardigan Show. Also, as Marcus has done, sign up for the Athletic's Bounce, the newsletter every morning, right,
Best
Marcus?
Best of the nation, baby.
Best of the nation. Thank
it's a newsletter? I thought it was them shoes that help you dunk.
Those are the plyometrics, yeah.
Yeah, and they build up your calves.
The jump soles?
No, jump soles, man.
Oh, man. A newsletter. I don't know about a newsletter.
Yeah, a newsletter. All right. For Jake King, for Marcus Thompson, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time, and read the Bounce, just like Marcus does.